First Sunday of the new year. Good to see those that have determined that they would spend this first Sunday in worship unto God. We came together on the very first day, on Wednesday, and I believe had a good beginning of the lessons that Jack mentioned in his announcement in our study on Colossians. If you have the opportunity to come for class Sunday or Wednesday, I urge you to do that. We study together. I don't stand and make lectureship. We study together questions that, and this is a little bit different class than I've ever conducted before. But the questions are from the members of the class. And they came up with the questions for this lesson. We started out in the first chapter looking at the introduction with 8 questions on the introduction, and now there are 23 questions that we'll be going through in the first chapter, and all those by the class. And so it's a joint effort in this. I urge you, if you have that opportunity, if you are able to do that with us, to come and learn of God's Word. Jack used the ESV in the reading this morning, read a little bit differently than what I was getting to. But in Acts 17, chapter and verse 16, after Paul had left Berea, before that Thessalonica, and then those Jews from Thessalonica come down to Berea and cause them for him to leave from Berea, he travels to Athens. And he enters into that city, as we see in Acts 17, verse 16, and says this: "Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens," that is, his traveling companions, "his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." There was a question that came up in our Thursday study that we have online. And if you're interested in that study, please give me your email address and I can include you on the invite. It is a Zoom study. There was a question that came up in that class: is there still idolatry today? And when you come down and get just to the very end of that answer in connection with that, are there still people on the earth? And the answer is yes, then there is idolatry. And we have in this account, of course, the seat of idolatry in the world at that time, being in Athens, Greece. And not only were they involved in what we think of as far as the devotions and the statues and so forth, they were involved in that very heavily. The whole city was wholly given to that idolatry. But also, as you go on down and you look in that passage, there was another idol that they had, and that was the desire to learn more human wisdom. And that they did nothing with their time more than to learn of human wisdom. And I want to talk this morning about idolatry in connection with addiction. Because there is addiction associated with idolatry, and there's addiction that is in the world. And sometimes we don't realize even some of the things that are addictive in this world. Some addictions and their result: substance addiction, sinful, whether it be drugs or alcohol, hijack pleasure, reward circuits in your brain. It is not only that which is pleasurable to some, at least in starting out, but also has a physical detriment to one. Addiction can also send your emotional danger sensing circuits into overdrive. We know of the dangers of alcohol and drug addiction. It is prevalent in our world today. We also see gambling addiction, which is also sinful. And it runs the gamut from the selling of raffle tickets all the way to traveling to Las Vegas and other places to gamble. It covers the whole aspect. It can become compulsive and debilitating within the individual that is addicted to gambling. And it overtakes them, and of course it causes family issues, it causes financial issues, ethical issues. Beverly and I enjoy baseball a lot, and there was a documentary that was on, and one of the greatest players that ever played, Pete Rose, whom I loved growing up, just loved watching him, became addicted to gambling, forfeited all of the notoriety that was rightfully coming to him if he had not entered into those things that were not ethical. Betting on baseball and betting on his own team while he was not only a team member but also a coach. He did both at the same time. He will never see the Hall of Fame because of that. But it also affected others that were round about him. And so that is the case with gambling. But then we also see, and this is something I believe that is very prevalent in the world today, video game addiction. And while video game addiction is not sinful itself, it can become sinful. It can become sinful. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 12. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or expedient, if you're reading from the King James. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Where you look at that passage, it really not only includes video games, but anything that would become an addiction, anything that would really become an idol to us. And what Paul is saying here, there are things that I can do. There are things that I'm allowed to do. There is freedom that I have through Christ Jesus to enter into certain activities, certain aspects of life. I can do those things, but not all of them result in edification or for the good, not only of self, but also of others. I will not, then, he says, be brought under the power. I will not be addicted to anything that brings me under its power rather than looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Video game addiction, internet gaming disorder, characterized by severely reduced control over gaming habits, resulting in negative impacts on daily functioning, including personal, social, educational, and occupational responsibilities. This is from the clevelandclinic.org, if you would like to look that up and find more about it. It can start out just as something that is fun and grow into that which is, again, debilitating, and also can lead to that which is sinful, including gambling. That's on many of those sites. And so as we look at this, this addiction that we're talking about, any addiction, doesn't matter what it is, it is anything that we can self-control, it is an addiction. When we look over in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, and verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. There is no defense. Their will is taken away because they have given their will over to whatever that addiction is. Their defense upon whatever would come from that addiction, sinful aspects, and we'll be talking about some of those as we go through this, they will just enter into the man without any defense whatsoever, walking right in. And there is not an answer for that as long as the mindset is where they would be addicted to it, where there is not a care or concern about that addiction. 2 Peter, the second chapter, the last part of that chapter, Peter says, for whatsoever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved. And that is overcome to make less, inferior, to be conquered, forced to yield. And again, it doesn't matter what the addiction is, whatever overcomes one is that then that a man becomes enslaved to. And so I want us to look at that from this standpoint in several different aspects that are prevalent again in the world today. Again, this city, as we see in Acts 17, verse 16, the city was wholly given to idolatry. They were addicted to it. They were addicted to it. When we think about that, wholly given to in the Greek, I don't know what happened there. It is literally an idea or a fancy, an appearance that in which is given, then one is given completely over to it, and their will and their self-control is taken away because that is their focus, that is their mindset, that is where they look. And it becomes the very purpose of life, as it was here in Athens at this particular time. So the question that we have this morning, is there something that you are wholly given to that leads you away from Christ, from family, and from responsibilities? Is there something like that in your life? And so it is a presentation that is making, but it is a presentation that is rhetorical as far as the answer is concerned, which I cannot answer for you. You will have to answer for yourself in connection with any addiction that you may have. So consider the following. Addiction is ungodliness and worldly lust. When we look over in Titus, the second chapter, 11 through 13, Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." When we usually think of lust, we'll usually think of the sins of the flesh, sexual immorality. But it includes more than that. It includes that which is turning one away from the Lord, that which is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That they're looking more to that than they are looking to what God has to say, what God would have for them, and about the responsibilities that they have, not only to God, but also to others. Addiction turns one focus away from the Lord to self. We see here in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope is where we should be as children of God. And not looking for the next time that I have freedom to get on my phone, get on my computer. I will use that time to do that. I will make sure that I get that done and let other things go by the wayside. That's number one in my life. That's an addiction. When it gets to that point, that is addiction. Then we also notice this. It is one of the works of the flesh, as we mentioned it in Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and one of those is self-ambition. And that really ties in with idolatry. And self-ambition is that which one decides that they want to engage in, where their focus is in their life, what it is that they're going to do. That's an addiction. And that selfish ambition is that. Addiction comes from the use of God-given time being, of course, abused. It overcomes the use of God's given time to us. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. "See then that you walk circumspectly," that is, with awareness, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." When you look at addiction, it eats up time in one's life. That could be spent doing the Lord's work. We'll be talking about that. Could be spent with family. Could be spent with responsibilities of the family's responsibilities of work and so forth. But addiction overcomes that. Addiction eats up time. And time, as far as human beings are concerned, is something that is precious. And should not be given over to that which is not edifying, but rather that which is in glorification to God in several different areas, as we will see. Remember, time belongs to the Lord. When we look over in Colossians 1 and verse 16, "For by Him," that is Christ Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." When we think about that verse 16 there at the end, all things were created through Him and for Him. Time is a created element. And in that creation, He made it, but He made it for Himself. In other words, so that the focus of our lives would be upon Him. And so time doesn't belong to us. Time is one of the idols of the world today. Time doesn't belong to us. We are allotted time by God. And there is a specific use that we are to engage in connection with time, the use of that time. And so addiction causes one also to shun responsibilities to the Lord. Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When you think about addiction, it shuns that responsibility, first of all, presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, not to that which addicts us, but rather to the Lord. That's where we should be giving ourselves as a sacrifice. The word sacrifice in connection with this is the giving up of something. It is the giving up. And it's really an aspect of being a Christian, that we give up our life for the Lord. Addiction interrupts that. Addiction will overcome that, to where then we don't give ourselves up, but rather what we do is give ourselves over then to that which addicts us. And he mentions here, Paul does in Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2, that this is our reasonable service. that which is acceptable to God, that which is set apart or holy, and it is a living sacrifice. Well, there are those that can attend services such as we have this morning and say to themselves, well, I'm sacrificing my time now so that I can hurry back and get home and do what I really want to do, but I don't necessarily want to be here. And so that addiction can even cause a loss of focus in the way that we conduct ourselves in this world. And then he says that we are not conformed to this world, and it is taking place all over the world today, these addictions. But be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That is the renovation of the mind. That's what the word renewing means there. The renovation of the mind, which renovates it and says the most important thing in this life is not the pleasure that I find in an addiction, but rather it is service unto God. And that is the last part of verse 2, so that we show forth, we demonstrate in our lives what is that good and acceptable and complete or perfect will of God in the way that we conduct ourselves. And so addiction causes one to shun responsibilities of the Lord because that's not the focus. The focus is, how can I get back to whatever it is that I'm addicted to, whether it be alcohol, whether it be gaming, whether it be whatever it is. How can I get back to it? What will I do to get back to it? It can also affect attendance by a Christian. And when we think about these things, we're not talking about addictions that are out in the world. We're talking of those that are in the world. But for us to look at ourselves and to really answer this, what are we addicted to, or are we addicted to something? And it can affect our attendance. Hebrews 10 chapter verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You understand that there is two aspects in coming together as a congregation. And that's only part of our worship. Our worship is each and every day, as we see in Romans the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. But there is another part of that worship. And when we do not meet as we should, we're not only harming self. Very specific, as you look here in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 25, because there was a day that was coming. Destruction of Jerusalem, if they could escape. And they needed to be reminded about that was taking place. And when we come together, there is that aspect for self. That we come together where we are built up, or should be. We come together, we remember what Christ Jesus did for us. We come together, we give thanks and praise to our God in song. We come together to do a work in a fellowship way in which we give of our means. And then we come together and there are prayers that are offered for those of our congregation, for those that are in need, of those that are in the world. And we do that, and we see the benefit of that. But there is also, in connection with coming together, not only self, but there is that connection with others also. Sickness has hit this congregation. There have been some gatherings here recently where there's only been 10 or 12 people. And it's disappointing. We understand why, but it's disappointing. It's a little bit deflating at times if we're not careful, if we don't really keep our focus. But there is that support aspect that also comes from assembling. And not only that, there is also the teaching aspect, the example that we're setting forth not only to family, but also to those of the world, where we come together. And so when we think about this, now, addiction can affect our attendance if we're not careful. It can do that. Which may result also in other things that are not right, and that's such as lying. Note the principle in Acts 5th chapter, verses 3 through 4. This is whenever Peter confronts Ananias and Sapphira about their lie, in which they had said that they were giving the whole proceeds of their sale of their merchandise over to the church, under the control of the apostles at that time. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why do you conceive this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And what addiction does, and especially I put this in context with attendance, If there is any sort of addiction in one's life where there is that care for that which is more than what God has supplied for us and what God expects from us, it's so much easier to say, well, I just don't feel good. And then after the other family members are gone, we can crank up then the phone or the computer and we can play our games. We feel good enough to do that. We can lay in bed and do that. It gives us the opportunity to make an excuse that is not truthful. And that's what addiction will do also. It will open that door to excuse and will open the doors to lies. Just straight out lies. And so, again, that addiction can affect our attendance. It also affects the study of the Word. When we look over 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Addiction takes us away from that study time. Let me just ask you, and again it's rhetorical because I don't live with you. You have to answer this for yourself if you have the conviction to answer it. How many times have you opened God's Word this week? How many times have you gone to the Bible and opened it and looked into it and studied it? There's a great thing that's taking place that one of our sisters put out there that others are following also, and that's reading through the Bible in a year. And there are those that I'm sure are continuing in that effort, and I hopefully they will do that. And that's one aspect. What also about the aspect of study? What about the aspect of study? Let me ask it this way. If you have opened your Bible, compare it to the amount of time that you have spent on something that has control over you. Which one has the most time? And if you answer something other than study of God's Word, really then you start to get to the addiction that you're involved in. The addiction that you have. So it will affect the study of God's Word. And the study of God's Word is so important because, just as Hosea said, God saying through Hosea more accurately in the 4th chapter and verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's where we can get to, wherever the addiction takes us away from the study of God's Word. It also affects the willingness to work for the Lord. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 10, gives us a purpose as Christians of what we are to do once we've become children of God. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it takes away then for the work that we could be accomplishing for the Lord. When was the last time that you signed your name on the board for building care, for lawn care? When was the last time that you put your name out there for the care of others and preparing meals and so forth? When was the last time you went to one of the elders and you said, is there anything that needs to be done? Is there anything that I can help with? I will tell you, if you have an addiction, you will never do that. You won't be involved in that because it is not important. The addiction is. Addiction causes one to shun family responsibilities. And I think this is the greatest ailment to addiction. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And likewise, also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent, that you may give yourselves wholly to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There are marriages that break up. They are put under stress and strain, even if they don't break up. When there is addiction that is in the family by one member of the family, and it puts that strain on there. I want you to think about it this way. Before you were married to your spouse, think back. Where did you want to spend your time? You wanted it to be with your future spouse, hopefully your future spouse, is the way you would look at it. I love that person so much. I want to spend all my time. How much of the time did you spend with that spouse in pleasing them? Well, that was the whole purpose. Making sure that they were happy, making sure that they were pleased. And that was the focus in that relationship. Let me tell you, addiction takes that away. And when the time comes in a marriage relationship where that bond grows even closer, addiction breaks that bond down. It breaks that bond down where there is not that care and concern that should be. Well, I'm married. I have what I want now, and now I'll do my thing. And I will say this, I think that that is more prevalent with men than it is with women. And so we need to be cautious. And so as we look here, we're not to deprive one another because of an addiction. We're not to deprive one another whenever there's not an addiction. But to be concerned with one another, to make sure that the family responsibilities are in place. And the same thing, not only with that, but when children come along. And we look over in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I know, and I've heard, and I've witnessed this. Children of members, where the members become weak because of some idol that is in the world, whether it be time, whether it be dissatisfaction, the idol of dissatisfaction, boy, Satan likes to spread that one. Whatever the addiction may be, and you'll hear the children. They first of all, it starts out where classes are not attended. And you'll hear the children say, well, I wanted to be at class, but we couldn't make it for this reason and that. You understand that when they begin to talk, you really get the truths of the family coming out. That's just a function of them getting a little bit old. And then after a period of time, whenever that continues on, and there's not only the missing of the class, but also the missing of the assembly, you'll see that child now where they don't have the interest in the class. They don't have interest in coming together. And they will not look at coming to go to class as a positive thing, but a negative thing. I don't want to go to class. I don't want to go to church. And you'll hear that. And I've heard both of those. And it comes about because there are parents, or sometimes just one parent, that controls the situation, that keeps them from coming and learning about God, and keeps them in interest of doing so. And that interest turns then into disgust. And that happens. But not only that, here's the other aspect from this. This is the most important, because I want you to notice this. You fathers, that's who it is addressed to, the heads of the family. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not, well, my wife can teach them. The mother can do it. That's her work. No, it's your work. You are the one directing that. And if there's an addiction in your life, you're not teaching your child. You're not setting forth the example. You're not doing as Israel was told to do. From the time you get up until the time you go to bed, you teach these statutes to your children. How much more important for teaching God's Word through Christ Jesus and the gospel of the truth that was given because of His shed blood to the children that we have today in this great grace given to us by God that teaches us. And so addiction will cause that family relationship or responsibilities to be forgotten. But also addiction can cause one to shun work responsibilities. And there are those that have lost their jobs because of that. They care more about their self-ambitions into things that pleases them. And because of that, they will suffer then the loss of employment quite often. That has happened a lot. When we look over in Ephesians 6 verses 5 through 7, Paul says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." And you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It starts to get where the work then becomes shoddy. Maybe even the hours that you put in become less than what is expected. Calling in sickness when there's really not. Making excuse so that you can do whatever the addiction is that you have. You can do that rather than providing for the family. But the end result can often end in the loss of jobs. Addiction in all aspects is idolatry. Colossians, the third chapter in verse 5, Paul says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." That passion, that is what we care about the most. And addiction becomes a passion. And again, it overtakes the time that we have upon this earth to carry out that which we should be loving and that which is our responsibilities that we should be carrying out. Also know that all addiction can be overcome. There's the good news to this. We don't have to be controlled by anything other than Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10 chapter and verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Understand this, that if you have something in your life that is addictive, you're not the first one. Others have faced this, and I'm going to say because of what Paul is writing, others have overcome it. And so he goes on and says, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." But that takes conviction, self-control of mind and body to say, "I will no longer be controlled by this addiction. I will only be controlled by my Lord. And He's made a way of escape for me. I'm looking for that door and I'm going to go out of this house of addiction that I'm in." Our admonition: instead of being wholly given to self-indulgence, be wholly given in life, and especially as children of God. 1 Corinthians 16, chapter verses 13 through 15. "Watch ye." That admonition doesn't come unless there's danger that is out there. Watch. That means there's danger that is out there. "Stand fast in the faith." You understand also here he's saying, have conviction, make a stand for the truth. "Quit you like men." He's talking about maturity. Be mature in your actions. Don't let things overcome you. Be strong. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. "Let all your things be done with love," or charity. "I beseech you, brethren," that love or charity is not only toward God, but also to our responsibilities, to our families, to our fellow man. "I beseech you, brethren," you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, "and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry or to the work of the saints." If there's an addiction that is in your life, it needs to be that one right there. To the work of the saints has been given to us by God to do His will. And so Paul says in Romans 12 verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." When we think about this topic of addiction, and I'm going to go back one more time to the aspect of time as an addiction. No one's going to tell me that I have to be at services two times on Sunday. Nobody's going to tell me that. I will not put up with that. And you're right. No one here is going to tell you that, but the Lord has. And you see, you won't be here unless there is a desire to do the Lord's will. And if you're not, well, then you're addicted to time that you think is yours. It's not yours. And if you're not a child of God, you're addicted at this point in time to living after your own ambition. And that is your idol. But there's a way out of that through faith in coming to the Lord with a change of mind, which is repentance, being baptized for remission of your sins. And if you're a child of God, if you're a child of God and you have an addiction, and again, addictions are not just substance related. It's things that we've talked about. If that is in your life, will you have the love of God? Will you have the love of family? Will you have the love of brethren? Will you have the love of fellow man? To ask forgiveness for that. Stop making excuses in your work and service unto God. And come and do His will. Will you ask for the prayers of the saints? Because we're ready here to pray with you and for you. What are you wholly given to? Let it be H-O-L-Y. Given to the Lord. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.